found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. It was conditional. It was conditional. God's blessing was conditional upon the obedience of the law and of the commandments. And we can see this throughout the scriptures. Now look in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I had mentioned before that this law seemed like it was so much, and it seemed like there were so many things involved in all the law and all the things that they had to do, and yet it wasn't grievous to the children of Israel. And God says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." This obedience, when done in love for the Lord, was not a great ask. It was not too much on the children of Israel if they were serving the Lord out of love. Look in Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. There it is again, over and over again. But he says, this is out of love. This is out of love for the Lord. I have love for me. You love me and you keep my commandments and you love me and you love thy neighbor as thyself. And all this law and all this commandment, when they were obeying in love for the Lord, was not too much to ask. It was not too much. And even in our own Christian life, we hear a message or the Lord speaks to our heart, and when our heart's right with God and we love the Lord and we want to please Him and want to serve Him with our lives, and God asks us to give up of something or He asks us to start doing something, whatever it is, if we're serving the Lord out of love, we say, "Okay, Lord, I love you. I'll do this." But it's when we're thinking of self, and it's when we love ourselves more than God, and it's when our heart's not really right with God, and we're just kind of going through the motions and doing stuff, and then God says, "Will you give this up for me?" And like, "Lord, I'm not going to do that. That's too much. That's just the preacher preaching, you know, all that kind of stuff." And it ends up being where when we love self more than God, then it becomes a great, huge service to do right, according to what God says, but not when we love Him. And that's what He says clearly to the children of Israel. Now, in this law, and we see the blessing of God and the cursing of God, and with Achan, he was taken out and he was stoned for his sin. Disobedience in the scripture, in this law, was accounted for. God understood that man wasn't going to obey every single law in every single thing. God saw this in man. He had known this in man. He had established these things and established a way for man to get back in God's graces. God established this all the way back with Adam, but He establishes it here in the law as well. Turn to Leviticus chapter number 1. Leviticus chapter number 1. This disobedience was accounted for. It was accounted for, firstly, in the sacrifice. Disobedience was accounted for in the sacrifice. Look in Leviticus 1, chapter 1, verse 1. "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, Ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. There was a sacrifice that was available, and it was available for any man. It was available for any person. You can see that right in verse number 2. It was available to anyone. Disobedience, God knew that man would not live perfectly by every letter of the law. And so although he demanded that the law be followed, and believing in God, having faith in God, and following his law, he established a sacrifice for disobedience, and it was open for any man that would sin, any man that would disobey the Lord. It was available to them. And this sacrifice, of course, it was an animal without blemish. Look in verse number 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle or the congregation before the Lord. And man could provide the sacrifice for his sin, or he didn't have to. And it was up to them. It was up to every man, up to any man. It was a burnt sacrifice, and it was an animal without blemish. That's why you read through Leviticus and you read through the Old Testament law and you read through the demands of God for the sacrifices, and you can't help but see, because we know the other end of the story, you can't help but see all the types of Jesus Christ being the perfect sacrifice. It had to be an animal without blemish. And for you and I, Jesus Christ was that sacrifice without sin. He was that sacrifice without blemish. Not only was it for any man, not only was it for it was for an animal without blemish, but look here in verse number 4. The Bible says, when he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. So I'm the one that's committed to sin. I've committed the trespass, and there is a sacrifice available for me because I've trespassed against God's law. And because he is merciful and because he is gracious, I now have to bring a sacrifice. And I want to get right with the Lord, so I bring a sacrifice unto the Lord, and I bring an animal without blemish, and I bring it to the priest. I bring it to the tabernacle, and I bring it to the priest. And what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to lay my hand on the head of the animal and say, what is this? This is an example. This is an illustration of my sin being placed onto the animal that's about to be sacrificed. It's my guilt with my hand on the head of the sacrifice. It's a type of my guilt, admitting my guilt and placing that on the animal that's about to die in my place. That's what it is. This animal needs, his blood needs to be shed because of my sin. This innocent animal, because of my sin, this blood needs to be shed. And of course, that's a picture of the offering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and the picture of the transfer of sin. Jesus Christ was there, and the Bible says that God made him who knew no to be sin, who knew no sin. He took the sin of the world on him, and I wasn't there. There was no hand placing of any kind, but the transference of my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, who then paid for that sin with his sacrifice on Calvary. We can see that example here with this animal. And that's why when you read the book of Hebrews, every Jew that had ever offered up a sacrifice, they knew exactly what Jesus Christ was for them. For you and I as Gentiles, and not being anywhere connected to any of this type of stuff, we have to read it and say, okay, so this was required of the Jews for this sacrifice. And we can go and see from Adam and then to Abel and then to Noah and then to Abraham, and we can see this transition of sacrifices made and offered unto the Lord, and Job and others before this law, the sacrifice of animals made. We have to go back and say, okay, this was how this was going to be here, and this is how this was. And so then now we see Christ as the perfect sacrifice, but we have to learn about all of it. when Paul came into a new city and went into the synagogues and says, listen, Christ is the perfect sacrifice. There remains no more sacrifice for sin after Jesus Christ. The Jews went, whoa. Because when we sinned and when we transgressed God's law, we got an innocent animal without blemish, and we brought it to the synagogue, we brought it to the temple in the time when they were worshiping God in Jerusalem, and they would bring it there, and they'd put their hand on it and say, God's going to be pleased with this, my fault, but I'm going to place my sin on this animal, and he's going to be sacrificed. And they understood it perfectly, that transfer of sin. And not only the transfer, the laying on of hands, but look in verse number 5, the Bible says, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so it was the slaughter of the animal. It was the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so that innocent animal didn't just get to have the sin placed on it and then it was let free. No, it needed to die. It needed to die and the blood needed to be shed. And God required the shed blood of an innocent lamb, an innocent animal, in many cases not a lamb, but an innocent animal to be shed for what? For our sin. For our sin. And Jesus Christ comes and hangs on the cross. And his blood is shed. What? His perfect blood. His without blemish. His perfect blood without sin was shed for us. And so under the law, there was a sacrifice that God required. And that sacrifice lined up with what one day would be Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice. But in the Old Testament, there was no Jesus Christ. Right? We get this. We understand. We can make the associations easily now because we read both Testaments and we know what Christ did for us. But put yourself back here in whichever side you want to go to, back into the Old Testament. Put yourself into the Old Testament and God says, this is what I demand for sin. And people say, okay. And we need to obey God. And you read in here, if they do this, and they do this, and they do this, and they do this, they'll be cut off from their people, and they'll be cut off from their people. And they have sacrifices burning daily, morning and evening, and individuals coming, and an annual sacrifice for the nation, and individual sacrifices that people are bringing for their sins, and free will offerings given, and all these different sacrifices we see. But the one for sin was an individual needed to bring that sacrifice for sin. They needed to bring it for an atonement for themselves. Job's offering up sacrifices unto God just in case his kids sinned. He's offering them up unto the Lord. And who's Job? He's a Gentile before the law. And he's offering up sacrifices unto the Lord, saying, Lord, this is in case any of my kids have went astray. Lord, please forgive them. Here's a sacrifice unto you, Lord. Why? Because there was no Jesus Christ yet. There was no perfect sacrifice. That animal could only bear, in essence, as a picture, could only bear one sin at a time. And then the next time they transgressed the law, they would bring a sacrifice and unto the Lord. And so it was that shedding of blood. There was also worship involved for disobedience. And we can see that with the other offerings and the freewill offerings and the meat offerings. And they would bring these for worship unto the Lord. They would bring these offerings unto the Lord. They'd bring them unto the tabernacle and give them to the Levites. And these Levites would come into the tabernacle. And the first place they would go, when you came in the tabernacle, it had some curtains on the very outside of the tabernacle, and then you would have the actual building itself, right, in the Old Testament here. And so you would come in, the gates were on the eastern side, and so it'll be on this side for you, all right? So they'd be coming in the gates over here. And when those priests would come in those gates there and those doors there of the outside court of the tabernacle, they'd come in and the first thing they'd come to would be that brazen altar. And that was the place for sacrifice. And that was the place where they'd burn the offerings there. And if they kept going towards the tabernacle itself, they'd come to the laver. And that was what had the water. And they'd wash their hands on running water. And a picture of purifying themselves before they could go in to the tabernacle itself. And go in that order. And what was it? It was the blood. And it was cleansing. Is what the order was before they could get unto the Lord. And that's no different than you and I. You and I need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need cleansed by the Holy Spirit of God before we can have access to God to pay for our sin. God made a covenant with the nation of Israel, but he demanded personal accountability. Personal accountability. Christ died for the sin of the world, but God demands individuals repent and receive him. The blood was shed for anyone that wants to receive it. Salvation is offered to anyone that wants to get saved. But yet we have to individually accept Christ for salvation. It doesn't count what my parents have ever done. It has to be an individual decision that we make on our own for salvation. But God also demands personal sanctification. Once we're in the body of Christ, God desires of us to live clean and to live holy and to draw closer to him. And it pleases him when we live by faith and we live right. But it's way better for us when we live clean and we live right. And he desires that sanctification in your life and in my life. And all those things were drawn out here in the Old Testament, but they were drawn out as types. They weren't drawn out as Christ is the answer, but right now we're just going to offer the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. You understand the difference? We're making a comparison to what Christ has done for us. But in the Old Testament, under the covenant of Moses, they obeyed and had God's favor, or they disobeyed, and often God took them or brought curses upon them to where others came in and destroyed their lives and did all these things. In the Old Testament, they had to obey God in keeping all of the Old Testament sacrifices and doing all of these things in order to have a redemption of their sin. And you and I don't have to do any of that. You and I, that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. He did all of the work, and we accept one sacrifice, and we get the blessing of salvation on our lives. It's not even close to the same thing. We just simply, by faith, accept something that was already done for us. And we get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Whereas under the law, they would offer a sacrifice, and that would be accounted for righteousness to God. And then they would live in their lives, and they would disobey the Lord, and they would be living in unrighteousness. And they would bring an animal, and they'd come back to the Levites, and they'd offer a sacrifice, and it would be counted righteousness to them. Then they would go in their lives and they would live in their lives. And when they would sin against God's law again, they'd come back and do it again. Over and over and over again. Why? Because every time it was just an animal, it was just a shedding of blood for just that sin. And they had to live in that in their heart between them and God. They had to live in that law in order to have their own righteousness. And when they died in their own righteousness with the Lord, then he had counted that as righteousness, and he said, all right, you've died with your own righteousness, and you've died with your sin appeased in my sight. there's one coming. He's coming, and he's going to take care of all this. And, of course, that's Jesus Christ. And that's why we're getting a little, we're taking a little veering off here a little bit with this topic. But those saints in the Old Testament that died in their own righteousness with God, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And it was in the heart of the earth. So I thought hell was in the heart of the earth. And the Bible tells us about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus goes down and he's in Abraham's bosom and there is a great gulf. And the rich man, he's on one side and he's in hell and he lifts up his eyes. And they have a conversation going on there over this great gulf. And one is a place where those that died in their own righteousness and in peace with God because of their works and what they had done to appease God of their sin and in their obedience, they're there in Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says when Jesus Christ died that that he descends into the lower parts of the earth, and the Bible says he leads captivity captive. He goes down to the heart of the earth, to Abraham's bosom, or what's called paradise, and he goes down there, and guess what he has? The blood of the perfect sacrifice, himself. He himself is the perfect sacrifice. And he comes and he preaches unto them that he was the perfect and final sacrifice. And all those that have been offering after offering. The book of Ezekiel talks about those dying in their own righteousness and those dying in their own unrighteousness. And they have been sacrifice after sacrifice, and Jesus Christ comes and says, no more sacrifice. I'm the final sacrifice. And my blood gives you the final okay. And the Old Testament saints, those that had died believing in God and the obedience to the law, they get, the Bible says that basically paradise is moved up into heaven. And they're now, because of that final sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Paul says, I went up into the third heaven, and he's up there, and he sees paradise up in heaven now. And the souls of the Old Testament saints are there in paradise in heaven. And how is that possible? Because of the final sacrifice. But that wasn't made until for some individuals like Adam, 4,000 years, 3,000 years later, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice was the final one that needed to be made for those Old Testament saints. But this covenant that God made with Moses and the children of Israel, it wasn't like the covenant that God made with you and I through Jesus Christ. This was the sacrifice of animals. This is all the stuff, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all that. And they and you see over time, time and time again with the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, and they worshiped God and they disobeyed God and they set up other gods and set up other idols and set up sacrifices to different gods. And you see all this stuff that was going on. And we can see the obedience and disobedience played out here in the law of Moses. But this covenant that God made with the nation of Israel, multifaceted. And so it was called out to his people in a covenant that he made with Israel specifically. And so that's the layout there of the sacrifices and, of course, the types that they are. All right, let's go ahead and pray tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your book. Lord, I pray that you bless us this week. Give us the strength to do what we need to do for you. And Lord, bless your people and give them good health, Lord. And give them blessing upon blessing. And Lord, I pray that we'd serve you the best we can. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name.